Okay, so now we're going to move on to agenda paper 4, looking at the proposed amendments to IAS 21, and I believe I'm handing over to Paolo.
Hi Sue, thank you, and good afternoon everyone. Agenda paper 4 discusses a narrow scope amendment that the board will propose to IAS 21 in relation to the lack of exchangeability of a currency. I'll go briefly through the slide deck that I assume you have in front of you. The purpose of this session is to update you on the developments of this project and introduce the upcoming exposure draft. So moving on to slide 3, this proposed amendment will be relevant for companies with foreign operations or transactions in countries where the currency lacks exchangeability. As you know, IAS 21 requires the use of spot rates. However, it does not address situations in which there is no observable spot rate, or in other words, the currency is not exchangeable. So the board has decided to propose a narrow scope amendment to IAS 21 that will specify, firstly, when exchangeability of a currency is lacking. Secondly, that an entity will estimate the exchange rate when exchangeability is lacking. And finally, disclosure that will need to be made in those same circumstances. I will now talk a little bit more about each of these aspects. Sorry. Slide 4 outlines the board's proposed definition for when a currency lacks exchangeability. Many factors influence a currency's exchangeability, and assessing it could be complicated. So the board is proposing to include some application guidance to help entities identify when exchangeability is lacking. This slide lists the main aspects of the proposed application guidance. I will not go into each of these, but I will touch on a couple of them. For example, the proposed application guidance will specify that in assessing whether a currency is exchangeable, an entity will consider its ability to obtain foreign currency and not its intention. So, for example, an entity might be able to obtain foreign currency at a rate it views as unfavorable, so it might have no intention to obtain foreign currency at that rate. However, because the entity has the ability to obtain foreign currency, the currency will be exchangeable. The proposed application guidance will also specify that an entity will consider only exchange mechanisms or markets that create enforceable rights and obligations. Typically, when the exchangeability of a currency is administered by a jurisdictional authority, there are often parallel markets through which an entity may be able to obtain foreign currency. In assessing whether a currency is exchangeable, an entity considers those markets only if they create enforceable rights and obligations. Because an entity will estimate the spot rate when exchangeability is lacking, the board's proposals are prescriptive, and this will mean that exchangeability is lacking only in a narrow set of circumstances. Slide 5 provides an overview of the board's proposals on how to estimate the spot rate, and on this, the board is proposing to specify the objective of the estimation process rather than proposing detailed requirements. That objective is set out on the left side of this slide. The proposal will then require an entity to select an appropriate estimation technique that will meet that objective. As some stakeholders noted, estimating the spot rate may be complex, and it will not be appropriate to specify a particular methodology that all entities should use in estimating a spot rate. Because of this complexity, the board also proposes to specify that an entity will not always be required to use an estimation technique. In some circumstances, an entity might be able to use another observable rate. For example, a rate available for another purpose or a rate at a date after the reporting date, if those rates obviously will meet the objective of the estimation process. Turning to slide 6, estimating an exchange rate will require making judgments and assumptions. In addition, a currency's lack of exchangeability will expose an entity to particular risks, which could result in variability of future cash flows. So the board is proposing to require specific disclosures when a currency lacks exchangeability. This slide lists some of those proposed disclosures. These requirements are designed to provide investors with information that will enable them to compare entities' financial position and performance in these situations. So moving to slide 7, do you have any questions or comments on the board's proposal?
Thank you very much. So, questions or comments? Raymond.
Thank you, Sue. This is, I think, something that was as long overdue as far as parts of Africa are concerned, and they'll definitely welcome this, Zimbabwe in particular, because they've been battling with trying to stay on IFRS, but also trying to deal with the lack of exchangeability of the Zimbabwean currency against basically all major currencies, that there hasn't been a formal system that's been in place up until fairly recently that they've been able to utilize. So while it may be coming at the back end of once they've been the one, they found a solution, but I'm sure there'll be other people that will be affected similarly going forward. So I think just as well that we are coming up with a solution of some sort, and I think there'll certainly be some comments that will be coming out of Zimbabwe on this paper when it's issued. I think there will be some lessons that they will have, I think, that may add to the body of knowledge that we've got here. Thank you.
We were hoping you would say it would be useful. And Mark.
Thank you. So from our perspective, the proposals that have been developed are generally very welcome. The only question I have for perhaps the staff is whether or not the impact requires a little further analysis, and that is just to note that the sort of circumstances that the proposal is designed to address can be very different in different jurisdictions and different circumstances. And we're just aware or alive to the fact that there is a risk that something that's designed to deal with one scenario may be more difficult to apply in others. But I think the general message is that this is very welcome.
Thanks, Mark. Jeho?
Thank you. I know the main criteria to identify the circumstances in which exchangeability is lacking is no more than an insignificant amount of foreign currency. But actually, we are concerned about this criteria because we think that there might be circumstances that indicate a lack of exchangeability, even if an entity is able to obtain more than an insignificant amount of foreign currency. If that is the case, similar economic circumstances might be unduly excluded from the scope. So we think this situation in which the entity is able to obtain more than an insignificant amount of foreign currency could indicate that the foreign exchange market is not functioning properly. So it means that the exchange rate observable on that market could not be qualified for financial reporting purpose. If this is the case, we believe that amendments would not faithfully reflect the economic substance and undermine compatibility between entities. Therefore, we suggest that the amount criterion, i.e. no more than an insignificant amount, should not be prescribed as a bright line rule. Instead, the ISP should provide the criterion as one of the key indicators for the assessment of lack of exchangeability. This implies that even if an entity is able to obtain more than an insignificant amount of foreign currency, the entity might conclude that the exchangeability is lacking, depending on the assessment of other facts and circumstances. Thank you.
That's obviously one of the key things that we want to test in the exposure draft. We had lots of discussions about where the line should be drawn because we didn't want, you know, to have overuse of this regime, but we wanted it to be available when it was really necessary. So I think that's going to be a key area to, if you can help us with looking at it during the exposure process. And I guess the thing to think about perhaps in response to your fair question is, given the sort of pretty profound consequences of moving away from sort of quoted rates, for want of a better word, to this regime, we probably, as a starting position, thought it was good to have sort of pretty strict criteria for when you were in or out. But, you know, there are other considerations, including the one that you just raised. But thank you. You?
Okay. Thank you, Sue. The Chinese stakeholder generally support the forthcoming exposure draft. Meanwhile, they have some suggestions. The first one, they hope the board could provide more detailed explanation and illustrative examples when publishing the exposure drafts. That's the first one. The second suggestion is they hope the board can further clarify the definition of lack of exchangeability, especially clarify the threshold of insignificant amount on page four. The third suggestion is that they are wondering whether the three factors to be considered by the entity on page four in the middle, they are wondering whether the three factors are must have when making judgment of lack of exchangeability. Yeah, that's our comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Ernest?
Thank you, Sue. And I hope everyone is well. Based on the feedback received from those AOSSG members, and in addition to those raised by MOF, by China, and also Korea, overall, we support that it is necessary to address the lack of exchangeability issue by making the narrow scope amendment to IS 21, given that the standard does not include the requirements or exchange rate that an entity uses when the spot rate is not observable. And I would like to share the comments from the OSSG member who respond. And in Hong Kong, so far, we are not aware that our local stakeholders commonly encountered the lack of exchangeability issue, and we haven't heard that there's a major or common issue in the AO region. However, we have the following recommendations for the ISB to consider. Now, the first one is with regard to the time frame to obtain the foreign currency, which is supposed to be one of the factors an entity to consider in determining exchangeability or a lack of exchangeability. We acknowledge that it may not be appropriate to define the term of a normal administrative delay. However, we would encourage the ISB to consider adding some guidance in the standard as to what the term means exactly. This is to avoid a situation where the entity defines time frame as exceedingly short or exceedingly long. And therefore, we believe that adding some kind of guidance in this area would help consistency in applying the amendments. And the second point that I would like to make is about estimating the spot exchange rate. The April 2020 staff paper mentioned about some indicators that an entity could consider in assessing whether an observable rate approximates the spot rate and whether the first subsequent observable rate approximates the spot rate. We recommend the ISB to consider including those indicators in the amendments to support consistent application, as there could be other indicators that are relevant in the assessment. We also believe that it would be helpful to also describe the indicators as non-exhaustive. And we also heard comments back from Korea who just respond, and I'm not going to repeat them here. Thank you.
Thanks, Ernest. So you guys have all raised some, Rodrigo, did you want to come in? Rodrigo?
Sue, we've lost you.
Sorry, you haven't lost me. I'm just incompetent. I'm unmuted now. I was just going to say while I'm waiting for Rodrigo to come in that you have raised some really important points. So I think some of the key considerations that we had when we discussed this, both with the Interpretations Committee and the board, was where we drew the line in terms of when you're in scope and when you're not in scope. So should it be more than insignificant or another criteria? So that will be a very important point that if you can help us with getting feedback on that will be important. And how we draw the line and the criteria that have been developed to help people make the assessment of when they're in scope. And we don't have bright lines there, so we haven't got, you know, X percent of amounts, but use this concept of more than insignificant. But we have tried to build enough criteria to give people the boundaries to understand what to think about. Now, obviously, it's going to be important that we get feedback with your assistance on whether or not that's sufficiently clear for people to be able to apply it and to be capable of consistent application. So that will be a key criteria. We're in the process at the moment of moving into drafting. So you raised some good questions, but some of it we won't be able to change from the decisions made to date. So it's not that we're not listening, but they are important questions for the exposure process. Petrina, I wondered whether you wanted to comment on the point about examples, which I think was raised as one of the comments.
Yes, sure. So yes, Sue's right. By the way, as we speak, I have a draft of this exposure draft in my inbox, going through for review. And so, just to let you know what you know, as part of the board decisions, what they did decide is this whole all the area around defining what you know what is exchangeability, and therefore how do you work out when you've got a lack of exchangeability is of course new. And with that, we what you should see in the proposals is that it won't be just sort of only the detail you see in your slide deck today. The plan is that there would be quite a bit of go with, including some illustrative example.
Peter, we're losing a bit in video
off. Apologies. So what I was just repeating is there are no sort of hard and fast black and white lines in there, in a sense, around the criteria. But what the board is hoping to do is to describe. So, for example, you know, one of you mentioned normal administrative delay. The plan is to have some application guidance there that'll describe the types of things that might result in a normal administrative delay to give some flavour, you know, to what the board means there. So nothing black and white, but certainly the plan is to include guidance and examples that will hopefully provide a sufficient framework for people to then make that assessment about when a currency lacks exchangeability.
And of course, we'll be very interested to hear whether or not we've got the amount of guidance right when you look at that document. Now, Rodrigo, I'm going to try one more time to see if you can come in. No? Okay, so with that, I think that was what we wanted to cover on exchangeability. So now I think next is to move on to the update and agenda planning. Is that you, Roberta?